I knew Matt would like that.
All right, folks. That's
our time today.
Yeah, we're starting early, an hour early. Let's grab our hymnals, and we'll stand for hymn number 161. Don't you just love to tell people about Jesus? I know you do, because you're always asking for more gospel tracts. First, third, and fourth. I love to tell the story. We'll stand if you're able, that is.
Hey, listen.
Yes, sir. William Cowper wrote a number of good ones. Church, great singing this morning. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. We shall sing again after. Just a little something to say about my new preaching Bible. Thanks to my sister Ellie, Christmas gift, and she also got me a beautiful, I'll show you tonight, a beautiful Bible cover with a big eagle on the front. And Isaiah 40, verse 31, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, amen? And I'm so thrilled at this super giant print. So I'll be able to preach louder, the giant print. But in all seriousness, I'm a little saddened because I had to retire my preaching Bible. It was a Cambridge, you know. And my wife bought it for me in 1994. 22 years I've been preaching out of that same Bible. Pages falling out. I got about 5 rolls of tape. Pages, I mean tears and rips and, you know, masking tape and everything holding it together. Finally, I said, man, this is way overdue for replacement. But I preached thousands of sermons out of that Bible. I thought back and I said, Lord, I wonder how many sermons I've preached out of this. I have no idea, but I know it's in the thousands. And I said, wow, a brand new. You can probably read the print from here, from the pulpit. The super giant print is so big. I love it. So this is going to serve me well till the Lord comes. Praise the Lord. I get my money's worth, you know.
I've got big prints too.
Yeah. Let's open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. I love King Jehoshaphat. This guy will grow on you quick, I'll tell you. We have what we call a divided monarchy here. And what happened was, after David reigned for 40 years over Israel, y'all know, the kingdom split. Jeroboam took 10 tribes north and created the northern monarchy called Israel. And, of course, Solomon had the southern kingdom, Judah, and Rehoboam. Solomon had an undivided monarchy too, but that was because of the blessings of his father, not because of Solomon. And his son Rehoboam, the kingdom split. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, took 10 tribes north. And that's what we have here. We have a divided monarchy in Israel. And this man, Jehoshaphat, is king over Judah, the southern kingdom where the temple was and the Shekinah glory of God. Now, Israel, in the north, has Ahab, evil king, over them. Idolatry, Jezebel, wickedness. Judah, southern kingdom, has Jehoshaphat, good king, loves the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, serves him faithfully, leads the people in righteousness. And in this chapter, we have one of the most incredible passages of scripture in the Bible, because King Jehoshaphat is about to lead his people into battle in the name of the Lord. Amen? He is a godly leader, and that's what America needs today. Now, I want to preach a message I've entitled, How to Be an Overcomer Like Jehoshaphat. Look with me in verse 1. We read 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass, after this also, we'll talk about after what, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, yeah, the children of Mount Seir, the Edomites, we'll see that further in the passage, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Now notice here that Jehoshaphat is reminding God of their covenant relationship. He's saying, Lord, you made promises to us, your people, and we know you'll keep them. And he goes down here praying before God. Drop down to verse 12. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now I want you to notice the solemn assembly in verse 13. It included the kids, the cat and the dog. Amen? They needed the Lord to save them from slaughter. And I want to speak to you this morning on how to be an overcomer like Jehoshaphat. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this passage before us, Lord. How we thank you that this is historical facts that took place in the nation of Israel. And Lord, how we thank you that you're the same today as you ever were and ever shall be. You're immutable, unchangeable. Lord, we thank you that like Jehoshaphat, we can seek your face and we can find the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We know who butters our spiritual bread. We know where to come when we're in trouble. We know who holds our hand and we know who holds tomorrow. Lord, we ask you to bless your word at this time and show us what meaneth these things through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, though Jehoshaphat had his problems, as we all do, yet we do not find too many kings in the Old Testament who can compare with him in the area of his overcoming faith. In chapter 19, verse number 3, we're told that Jehoshaphat prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And in this incredible passage of war with the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Edomites, we see Jehoshaphat in his upward steps of overcoming faith to victory and joy. Folks, listen to me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Jesus Christ will lift up a banner against him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Jehoshaphat was an overcomer. And so also can we be victorious in whatever it is that we are facing in our life. Through the Lord our God. Through the Lord our God. His overcoming faith is seen in a number of ways this morning. Let me give you a few. First of all, his overcoming faith. He was an overcomer first in his seeking the restoration of others. Look with me in chapter 19. We'll come back to 20. But in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he sought the restoration of others. Look at it. In verse 1, we read, And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Verse 3, And nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, Jehoshaphat, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, the idols, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. See, you have to prepare your heart if you're going to seek God. It doesn't happen by accident. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim. And brought them what? Back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Now notice here that Jehoshaphat didn't just break down the idols and the groves and the high places. But he brought the people back to the God of Israel. He said, you've been worshiping idols long enough. You need the living God. You need the true God. You need the Savior. Amen. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one you need. Beloved, listen carefully. If you're going to be an overcomer like Jehoshaphat, you will have to be seeking to restore those that have fallen aside. Amen? I'm so glad I'm seeing some faces this morning that I haven't seen in a while. Oh, that's a blessing to me. I'm so grateful for that. The best work that we can do for others is to bring them back to God. Amen? That's who they need. Listen, in bringing back folks to God, we bring them to the source of peace, power, and provision. Those who seek to restore others to God show their overcoming faith in God. Amen? Well, the one you point them to is the one you trust in. Now, Galatians 6, don't turn there. Verse 1 says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, what's the next word? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. in the spirit of meekness. Don't beat them over the head. Tell them you're so wicked. But you would seek to restore them to the living God first, then to the house of God. Amen? Oh, but we need to be Jehoshaphat in bringing the people back to where they're supposed to be. There was a young Christian man who rode the train to work every day. He began to notice every day that in one area where the train had to move very slowly through a residential area in a sharp turn, he could see into a living room where there was an elderly woman was sitting convalescing, not knowing it was a Christian woman. For several weeks, the young man observed her there, apparently lonely and depressed. He could see it on her face from the train. So one day he learned the woman's name. And he sent her a get well card with a Bible verse of encouragement inside. He signed the card, "Just a young man who rides the train. God bless you." Well, about a week later, as he rode the train home, he noticed a sign in the woman's window in big block letters. It read, "God bless you, young man." And under the words, he saw a big smiley face, and next to the face, a cross. She received his encouragement. Amen. And she came out of her depression, even though she was dying, she was convalescing, and she got her joy of the Lord back just because a little card. You know, you all send me cards. Val's famous for it. She'll send me cards. And you know, it's such a blessing. You read that card and you say, she loves me. She's praying for me. You know, she's with me. And it blesses your heart. And that's what we need to do. We need to seek to bless people and bring them back to the place of blessing. That woman had been restored back to the Lord by just a little card of encouragement. Part of being an overcomer means restoring others back to God. But something else. Listen, Jehoshaphat was an overcomer in his justifying the ways of God. Go back with me to chapter 19 again. He was an overcomer because he justified the ways of God. In verse number 5 we read, "And he, Jehoshaphat, set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, 'Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts.'" Now folks, notice here that Jehoshaphat is encouraging the judges of Israel to judge righteously. Amen? Don't take bribes, don't respect persons, but judge righteously amongst the people. Oh, that's what we need to do. He says, why? Because there's no iniquity, verse 7, with the Lord our God. That means God's just and right in all that he does. Yes. Listen, you can't bribe God into doing something. Jehoshaphat is talking to the judges of the land, and he's telling them that the basis of their actions and decisions must be according to the righteousness of God and his word. Listen, Jehoshaphat is saying, there is no false dealings with the Lord our God. There is no unrighteousness with God. So you better judge righteously, because he's watching you. You know what we need in America? We need righteous judges. I'm going to make a statement. We need born-again, saved judges, Christian judges, who will judge the people righteously. You know what we've got? We've got judges in America passing ungodly laws, like homosexual marriage, abortion of babies, wickedness. Why? Because they're unrighteous judges. Hey, we just lost a good one, Scalia. He was probably the most conservative judge on the Supreme Court justice bench. And you know what? The president has already declared he's going to appoint the most liberal, wicked, left-wing judge he can find. I pray they'll shoot him down. I really do. The judge, that is. In Deuteronomy 32, look with me. Speaking of these judges, Jehoshaphat justified the ways of God. He said, God sent these enemies against us because of your idolatry. That's why he broke down the groves in the high places. In Deuteronomy, go with me to chapter 32. Boy, I love this super giant print. This is awesome. In Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses, look with me at verse number 3. Verse 3. God speaking. Moses speaking concerning God. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God.
He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Moses says, like Jehoshaphat, that God is right and he's just in everything he does. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, I don't know about you, but that thrills my soul. My God always does what's right for me. Always. No matter what the enemy throws my way. My God is righteous and he's in control. And Jehoshaphat is reminding the people that God is righteous in all that he does. In Daniel 4, verse 34, don't turn there. Nebuchadnezzar said, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Listen, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. All his ways are judgment, righteous judgment. Isn't that good? He says, God will not do you wrong. He's saying you can't question God. Everything he does is justified and for our good, ultimately, though we may not understand it. You say, what about Miriam's cancer? My wife had cancer when we were on the mission field back in the 90s. Guess what? God healed her. You know, at the time I was questioning, oh, what's going on? My wife got cancer. I'm a missionary. Hey, he has a reason and a purpose for everything that he causes or allows in our lives. Amen? I'm so thankful that he's in control. He's justified in everything that he does. If you want to be an overcomer like Jehoshaphat, you must be justifying God in all his ways. That means in everything. What? That's right. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And some of those things are hard to give thanks for, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. But we need to remember, he allowed it. He's in control, and I can thank him for it. Thirdly, something else about Jehoshaphat's overcoming faith. Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he warned God's people of the danger and evil of backsliding. Look with me back in chapter 19 again. And go with me to verse number 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord. And for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in your cities between blood and blood. I'm sorry. In your cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. Now, what is Jehoshaphat doing here in verses 8 through 10? Listen, he's warning the people not to backslide, not to turn from the Lord and the ways of the Lord. Any preacher who refuses to preach against sin and to warn God's people that sin will hurt you. Sin is like spiritual cyanide, which will kill you in the long run, is not worth his soul. Amen. You know what? We need preachers who will stand up in the Spirit of the Lord and say, thus saith the Lord. Listen, King Jehoshaphat is warning God's people here against backsliding. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to backslide from the Lord? Drop out of church, go off in the world, you're going to be in great danger. Great danger, because you're saved. That's why. Listen, he is revealing a most important truth to the people. That is that there is a vital connection between the trespass or sin of the believer and the wrath of God. Look at verse number 10. Warn them. You shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. Who is he talking to? The heathen? The world? No! He's talking to the children of Israel, God's people. And he says, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. See, your sin will affect others, not just yourself. And he's saying, he's warning that man cannot sin with impunity, saved or lost. It doesn't matter. Without suffering some punishment from on high. The child of God that jumps over the fence of God's will, the serpent of sin will surely bite him. Yeah. Falling away from God is forbidden ground for the believer. Listen, it leads to doubting castle and to the torture of giant despair. Just ask Pilgrim. Pilgrim's Progress. Between an airplane and every other form of transportation, there is one great difference. A horse and buggy, an automobile, a bicycle, a train, a speedboat, even a great battleship, all can come to a complete standstill without danger, and they can all reverse their engine or power and go backward. But a plane? There's no reverse gear in a plane. In fact, a plane cannot back up. It cannot stand still. It cannot move in reverse. If it does, you die. Hello? There's no backward gear for an airplane. That's why they have to be towed through the airport to the gate. Listen, its forward motion, onward and upward, is continuous, lest it crash. The only safe motion for the Christian is forward, onward, and upward. The only safe direction for the believer is going with Jesus Christ. If he or she stops or begins to slip or go backwards, he or she is in great danger. Like the airplane. It's going to come down. It's going to crash and it's going to burn. It's going to be ugly. Part of being an overcomer is warning others of the danger of backsliding. But something else, Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he sought the help of the Lord in the day of trouble. Look at me in chapter 20 again. In chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, the Edomites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle, three kings with their armies. Then there, now you know that's modern day Jordan. These area, geographical areas. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea in this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, notice in verse number 3, after verse 1, notice in verse number 1, where it says, after this also. After what? After what? Listen very carefully. After Jehoshaphat and the Israelites decided to follow the Lord wholly, fully, the time of testing, the time of trouble came. The enemy showed up. When Jehoshaphat brought the people back to the Lord, tore down their idols and said, we're going to serve God, people. The enemy showed up. Don't you know when you get right with God and you determine, I'm going to serve the Lord, the enemy will show up. Yeah. He's not concerned with those who sit on the shelf, on the sideline, and watch, oh, let's look at those Christians. Isn't that nice? I'll cheer them on and never lift a finger for God. See, we have to be in the battle. Oh, beloved, it's so important. And here, the Lord is allowing a time of testing for his people. Right now, listen, is the trial of our faith. And like Jehoshaphat, we're facing some troubles. But look what the king does when the trouble comes. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Time out. It's okay to be afraid. As long as you do the right thing when you get scared. Hey, if I had a grizzly bear coming at me, I'd be afraid too, and I'd pray hard too. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's what you do when you become afraid. Look what he says. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Proclaimed a fast throughout all the land. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you that Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, the whole bunch of these infidels can't touch us if we seek the Lord. If we seek the Lord, we're indestructible. The problem is we're going the other way as a nation. And we're becoming vulnerable to these peon nations that want to destroy us. Oh, yeah. politician named Donald Trump was holding a rally yesterday in Ohio. You know what happened? An ISIS terrorist ran up on the stage to kill him. To kill him. The Secret Service tackled the guy in time, and Trump was unharmed. Folks, they want to kill us. You've got to understand, it's time, verse 3, to seek the Lord. I am worried about this nation. Oh, we need a godly leader in the White House. But notice his example, being followed by the whole nation of Israel here in verse number 3. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. 4. And Judah, all of them, gathered themselves together to do what? To ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Folks, I'm here to tell you, let me make a statement. There's only one help, hope for America. America is going to go under unless from all the cities of America, they come to seek the Lord. I'm telling you right now, this country is more accountable to God than Africa or Australia or Germany, because this country was founded on the Bible and Christianity. We're accountable for that. And our politicians don't get it. Franklin Graham, bless his soul, he's going through every city in America on the steps of the city hall, and he's praying for America, for divine judgment to be held off, and for revival to break out in America. Bless his heart. That's a good thing to do. That's what we need. This is what Jehoshaphat does here in verse 3. And in verse 4, look at the response of the people. Why? Because seeking God is contagious.
Yes, amen.
Hear what I said?
Yeah.
Seeking God is contagious. When you see somebody full of the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the power of God, you say, hey, man, God do that for that person. Maybe they'll do it for me. You want that too, right? Listen, it's contagious. And the people broke out in fasting and praying and seeking the Lord, verse 4. They came to seek him. Now, there were three ways Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. First, he sought him as the Almighty God. Look at verse 6. And verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not what? Power to, and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. You know what he's doing? He's seeking the Lord first as the omnipotent, almighty God of Israel. He says, none can beat you, Lord. None can come against you and prosper. And he's reminding God that his power is displayed for his people. Something else, though. Secondly, he seeks the Lord as the faithful God. Verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? He's reminding God that God is faithful. He's saying, you made faithful promises to our father Abraham and to his seed. That's us. See that? He's seeking him as the faithful God who always keeps his promises. Verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us. Yeah, like now. Like the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites. As the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine. We stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and what?
Help.
God is going to help you when you're going through the fire. Why? Because he's faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. I'm not pointing you to any human being on this earth, because the arm of flesh will fail you. But God will never fail you. Verse 10. And now behold, look at it. And thirdly, he sought him not only as the mighty God, not only as the faithful God, but he sought him as the trusted God. Look at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat makes a declaration. We have no strength against them to beat them in battle, but but our eyes are upon thee, O Lord. He's saying we trust in you, the living God, to deliver us, because we can't deliver ourselves. Folks, you need to trust God. No matter what you're going through, I can stand at this pulpit today and say, I'm going to trust God through this trial. I know he's got it all in his hands. I know that he'll see me through this, and I know he'll take care of it. Our eyes are upon thee. Let me ask you a question, church. Who is your eyes on today? Who are your eyes on today? Because if your eyes are on people, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
You'll drop out of church like a bullet because they'll let you down.
Yeah.
We all do. It's human nature. But if your eyes are on the living God, you won't quit. You won't be fussing. You won't be feuding. You'll be full of the joy and peace of the one whose eyes you are fixed upon. Amen? Our eyes are upon thee. We're trusting in thee. Have you ever been there? Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to get out of this dilemma. I don't know how to relieve myself of this situation. But my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. I know you do. I know you'll take care of me. Now, in Psalm 46, don't turn there. David says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Listen, therefore will we seek the Lord our God. Why did David say I'm going to seek him? Because he's a very present help in my time of trouble. I'm so glad that God is with me. God is with you. You don't have to sweat. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. Because God's got it all under control. Part of being an overcomer means seeking God's help in the day of trouble. This Jehoshaphat did for the people. But something else. Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he received answered prayer. Do you receive answered prayer?
Yes.
Does God answer you? Oh, everybody. Amen. This church knows the power of prayer. Look with me in chapter 20 again, verse 14. Don't miss this. Then, upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the what?
Spirit
of the Lord. Notice Jehoshaphat just got through praying to the Lord God of Israel. The very next verse, verse 13. All the children, the little ones, wives, and husbands are standing before God. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord speaks. You see that? You know what he's doing? He's answering their prayer. Watch. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel in the midst of the congregation. I hope somebody's listening. He's in the midst of the congregation. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. Cheer up. Look at it. 14. And he said, 15, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. You know this great problem you've got? Don't worry about it. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's.
Yeah.
You belong to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, how long shalt thou persecute me, Saul? You are his body. You are his bride. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Face your problem with courage. Lift up the shield of faith and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you, Satan. Oh, glory to God for the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. My sister demonstrated it Saturday night when she came against the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen? And guess what? He turned tail and ran. You could feel a holy, heavenly peace come upon the church because she prayed in Jesus' name. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for that. Listen to me, beloved. Jehoshaphat's overcoming faith is further seen here in this sudden answer to his prayer. Listen to what God tells the king. Be not afraid of this great multitude. Verse 15. For the battle is not yours, but God's. If we could only get a picture, a focus of that. The battle is not
yours. I get this problem. And oh, Pastor, you don't know what they've been treating me. You know what they said about me and all this and that one.
Shut up! Trust God! The battle's not yours. They're not fighting against you. They're fighting against he that is in you. Ooh, that'll preach. Listen, as soon as Jehoshaphat began to seek the Lord, the battle became the Lord's. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. He gave the battle over to the Lord. And the Lord said, you don't need to lift a finger. I'll take care of them Ammonites. This teaches us clearly, beloved, that God himself takes over the responsibilities of all those who cast their cares upon him. Listen, God doesn't want you to be worried about what you're going through. Oh, man, timely message. And all the Christian has to do when seeking God is stand still and see, verse 17, the salvation of the Lord. I love it. Listen, you don't have to break out your AK-47, and you don't have to break out your electric bow, you know. You just need to sit down and let God take care of that situation.
Yes, amen.
Oh, I'm so glad of that. Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. Did Moses and the Israelites know how they were going to escape from the Egyptians? No. They had no idea that the sea in front of them was going to split and they were going to walk through on dry ground. That's God. That's God. When there is no way, he'll make a way. Oh, he's so good to us. I love it. Part of being an overcomer means receiving answered prayers. And Jehoshaphat did right here in verse 17. I'm so thankful for that answered prayer. Jehoshaphat, sixthly, Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he humbly accepted the Lord's will. Listen, go with me to chapter 20 again. Look at verse 18. We must accept God's will, right? Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You want victory? Worship the Lord. 19, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Amen? And they rose, look at, in verse 19, they get together and they say, boys, we are going to praise and worship our God. Now, folks, listen to me. The battle hadn't yet taken place. The victory was not yet won, but God assured them that it would be. So they begin to worship and praise him because of the coming victory. I hope somebody's listening. You may not see the answer to your problem right yet, but mark her down, she's coming. Because God said, I've heard you, my child, and I will take care of that situation. Listen now, in acknowledgement of God's wonderful grace and power, the king bows his head. Listen, verse 18, with his face to the ground, humbly before the Lord, worshiping him. When God fights for us, it is a humbling effect. Amen? It causes us to bow and worship him. This humble acceptance of God's deliverance eliminates all pride and self-sufficiency. It shows that God's in control. It shows that he's my deliverer. He's taking care of my problem, which I can't. Someone once said, no garment is more becoming to a Christian than the cloak of humility. Amen? He humbly said, Lord, I need you. I need pride, says I don't need nobody. I do it all myself. No, you can't. You fool. Get right with God. It is said of David Livingston that so great was his humility that he never recorded in writing any of his own words of praise to the Lord, lest they might awaken self-complacency or pride. The great missionary William Carey, in his splendid humility, said, when I am gone, speak not of William Carey, but of William Carey's Savior. Yes. Talk all about him.
Amen.
Yes. Have you ever realized that only small birds sing? Only small birds sing. You've never heard a single note from the eagle in all your life, nor from the hawk, nor from the ostrich. But you have heard the sweetest melodies from the canary, the wren, the lark, and the hummingbirds. And the sweetest music comes from those Christians who are small in their own estimation and before God. Amen? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall exalt you. How we need to learn to humble ourselves and to esteem others better than ourselves. Amen? What can I do for you? You're more important than me. Oh, I long for a church full of humility, full of those who account and esteem others better than themselves. Part of being an overcomer, beloved, is our humble acceptance of God's strength. But I see another reason why Jehoshaphat was an overcomer. Listen, it was because of his faithful testimony. Look at verse number 20. And they rose early in the morning. And when they set the alarm clock real early that morning, God told them, tomorrow I'm going to wipe them out, boys. And went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, as God said. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Wow. Listen carefully, beloved. The king says here, hear me, O people. Listen to what I testify to you about God. Jehoshaphat here speaks from experience. Listen, faith in God must lead to faith in his words. This is what he means by believe his prophets. He's saying believe his word. The fruit of true faith is not weakness and fear, but strength, courage, and victory. Amen? What is wrong with the church today? Is Jesus Christ changed somehow, no longer a savior? Folks, we need to stand up and boldly proclaim who we serve. We need to serve notice to the devil and the world out there that we're coming. We're coming for souls for Jesus. Amen? And we have the power to do it. Here is Jehoshaphat's faithful testimony to the people. Look at it. 20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. So shall you be established. What's the Old Testament word believe translated in the New Testament? It begins with an F.
Faith.
Have faith in the Lord your God. He'll establish you. Have faith in what God says to you. Psalm 40 verse 1, David tells the people, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's what God did for me. Amen? It's a testimony. He says, let me tell you what God did for me, and he'll do the same for you. The people believed the king because he spoke from experience. He was part of being an overcomer, is having a faithful testimony. But finally, one last thing we need to see, and that is this. Jehoshaphat was an overcomer because he had a joyful expectation. Look with me in verse 21. Don't miss this. And when he, Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Did anybody catch verse 21? They're going into battle against the enemies of Israel with all the weapons of war and machinery and rocket launchers. And he says, boys, we're going to sing and worship God as we go into the battle. They're singing praises to God as they go into the battlefield. Jehoshaphat believed God, and he rejoiced in the hope of a glorious victory over the enemy. He had a joyful expectation of what God was about to do. Watch this. The king appoints singers in verse 21 to go before the army singing praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. Here we see the joy of faith. We can rejoice in our trials and tribulations, knowing what God said about it in his word. And look what happens when they began to sing. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were what? Did any of the children of Israel shoot an arrow? Nope. Did any of them throw a spear? Nope. The Lord smote them. Beloved, listen very carefully. They were smitten as the children of Israel worshiped God. Notice the blessing in the midst of the battle. Verse 25. There's a blessing in your battle, by the way. Watch it. 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found amongst them in abundance both riches with dead bodies, they were all dead, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. God's blessings are more than you can hold, more than you can receive. Look at it. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. God blessed them. 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berekah. That's the valley of blessing. The valley of blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berekah unto this day. Folks, listen to me. There's a blessing in your trial. There's a blessing in your battle. There's a blessing coming. Just trust the Lord. Amen. Listen now. Our Lord has hidden blessings in every single trial we face. Look at the result, though, of their joyful expectation. 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Now, notice here that they return home to Jerusalem with great joy. Listen to me. When God brings you through your trial, and you, oh, all the water is still, and the birds are singing, there's not a ripple on the sea, and all is peace, you'll have great joy because you'll know that He's the one that brought you through. Yes. Amen. You'll see and acknowledge His mighty hand in your victory. But something else. In verse 28, notice where they came. 28. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets under the house of the Lord. Yes. They came to the church. They came to the church to tell each other of all the great things God had done. You know what blesses my heart about you all? You all, when I ask for testimony, all of your hands go up. Let me see here. This is going to take a while. Who do I call on first? Because you all got blessings to share. They come to the house of the Lord like, woohoo! The Lord delivered us! They're so excited. They've got the joy of the Lord restored. I love the house of the Lord. Because it's here that the blessings flow. They came to church to worship and thank Him. But one last result, and I'll be done, of their joyful expectation, one last result. Look at verse 29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Listen to me. People are going to know when God fights for you. People are going to know. You know what they're going to do out there? People at work. Lost people, relatives, they'll call you and say, would you pray? My son is awfully sick. I don't want him to die. And I know you got a connection there with God. They know where to go. Amen? Because of verse 29, the fear of God comes upon them when they hear what the Lord does for you. And you and you and you. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that He delivers us. Listen, the enemies of our God, the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin are defeated when the Lord fights for us. Did you hear what I said? The devil trembles when you begin to worship and praise and pray. Oh no! Oh, that Christian is praying again! And they turn tail and run. Because when you pray, the power of God falls and they don't want to be nowhere near it. They don't want to be nowhere near it. The God of Jehoshaphat, which is the God of the Old Testament, is the same God of the New Testament. And just like He did for His people then, He still never fails to fulfill the joyful expectations of all those who trust Him. Amen? Listen, folks, to be an overcomer means having a joyful expectation. Not in myself, but in the living God of Jehoshaphat. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. In closing, let me give you this. I'll be done. It is said by animal experts that the lion gets its title, the king of the jungle, from its unmatched ferocity. its incredible audacity and courage have coined the phrase, bold as a lion. Listen, the lion simply sees no danger, knows no fear, makes no delay, uses no cover, abandons no object of attack. These two should be the elements of Christian courage. If we are filled with a deep sense of our God's presence and power and of our own privileges thereby, would not this blind us to many of those circumstances that disturb and frighten us? Listen, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Amen. Through Him that loves us. Are you an overcomer like Jehoshaphat? You can be. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the overcoming faith of Jehoshaphat. How we thank you, Lord, that he was such a godly leader for your believing people, Israel. Lord, we envy that time period when a man of God sat on the throne and judged righteously, as did David the king. No, God, we pray for America this morning that you would give us a godly leader. Lord, give us a Ted Cruz. Give us someone who knows Jesus Christ and loves him with all of his heart. We pray, Lord, for godliness in our leadership, in our political, in our government leaders, Father. We pray for born-again Christians, for saved individuals who know how to govern according to the Scripture and not the ways of man and the world. Lord, we thank you for the message today, how to be an overcomer like Jehoshaphat. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll finish up with an hymn this morning. Ah, yes. Praise the Lord. Let's open up to hymn 260. We'll stand and finish up here. Altar is open if you need to do business with the Lord at all. All three, beloved. We tried unsuccessfully the first time. The friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grace to bear. To carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Listen, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, we find a friend so faithful. Knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, thy friends despise, forsake thee.
Amen. Good singing this morning, church. What a blessing to be with you all. Brother Kyle dismissed our prayer. Don't forget, tonight at 6, if you're able, 6 o'clock tonight.
Lord, we thank you that we've had this opportunity to come before you this morning to give you praise as you need and deserve that praise for all the great things that you bestow upon our lives. For the way you guide our lives, Lord, we just pray that this morning's message will be a blessing to each and every one, and show us that through our faith we have nothing to fear, Lord. Our faith is strong. As long as we give our problems to you and through faith know that you will take care of them and we don't take them back and try and solve them ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to walk with and guide us, to keep us safe through this journey, Lord, and help us be a good witness to others as we go. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.